This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. For the better part of two decades, Illinois police officers have been required to report the race and ethnicity of drivers and pedestrians they stop. It was originally conceived as a short-term study, passed into law in 2003 under the sponsorship of an Illinois state senator named Barack Obama. You might have heard of him. Obama spent several years negotiating with police interests to get the legislation passed, and after years of extensions and renewals, the data collection was made a permanent feature of Illinois law enforcement in 2019. But we're approaching two decades of data collection, and we're now left with the question, to what end? What is the point of collecting this data year after year if it's not used to make changes? Joining me to talk about this is Thomas Sines, National President and General Counsel at MALDEF, the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund. Thomas Sines, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Also joining me is Rachel Murphy, Staff Attorney at the ACLU of Illinois. Rachel, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, we're joined by a journalist who looked at this, the numbers in the state capital of Springfield. Natalie Pierre is the culture, diversity, and inclusion reporter at the State Journal Register newspaper. Natalie, welcome to the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, as ever, we want to invite you to join our conversation. 800-222-9455 is the number. Have you been stopped by the police in such a way that you think your race was a factor? Or maybe you work in law enforcement and have a perspective on this. We'd love to hear from you as well. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. Natalie, I want to begin with you for a baseline. You looked at traffic stops in Springfield. Briefly, what did you find?
So I found, much like the state of Illinois, that there has been a disparity, a racial disparity, in who's been stopped over the last 17 years this data has been collected. The disparity has been a little bit more significant in Springfield than it has on average at the state level. At the state level, for example, you're looking at this year, Black drivers were 2.76 times more likely to be stopped by law enforcement than their white counterparts, whereas in Springfield, it was 3.5 times more likely. And again, that's something that has been consistent for 17 years of this data. And really, as someone coming from outside the state, and this being my first year in the state, was taken back by, this is information that's here. And largely, we just kind of look at it, report it, and move on. But didn't see a whole bunch of, action behind the numbers. And that was something that I wanted to kind of take a look at over the last 17 years. Has there been conversations? Have there been changes? And what was really going on here?
Yeah, that's a great point. So, Thomas Sines, you have a national perspective on this. How does Illinois compare just in terms of collecting this information? Is this available in most states now?
It is not. It is available in some states, and certainly the trend has been to attempt to collect this data, whether it's on a statewide basis, which is generally unusual, though there are a few, but sometimes at a department level. And unfortunately, since you asked about what this looks in context of the nation, these kinds of disparities are pretty much ubiquitous in this country and indicative of a broader problem with respect to law enforcement and the biases, the subconscious and conscious biases that too many law enforcement agencies, officials, then contribute to a culture that results in the kind of significant and consistent disparities that you see in the Illinois data pretty much everywhere in the country.
And I do want to come back to that idea of the bias, both conscious and unconscious, that underlies these numbers. But Rachel Murphy, I want to bring you into the conversation first from the ACLU of Illinois. Can you just talk briefly about how we know what we know here? I was talking to a law enforcement source who declined to participate in the program today, but said, oh, you're taking the ACLU's framing. But I mean, let's be clear. This is IDOT data, right? This is coming from the Illinois Department of Transportation. Can you talk about how the numbers come in?
Sure. So the data is actually reported by law enforcement. So under the state law, every law enforcement agency in Illinois, which includes every officer that works for every agency, that is making these traffic stops is required to record that stop, record basic information about the stop, like the race and age of the driver, and you know, the reason for the stop, the outcome of the stop. And then they have to report all of that data to IDOT, which then collects it all and every year analyzes it and releases a report. So this isn't the ACLU's framing. It's not even IDOT's framing. IDOT is taking the data and just summarizing it for public consumption so that everybody can understand and get a snapshot of what it looks like in Illinois and in all of these different agencies. But the data is coming directly from law enforcement.
Okay, we're going to have to take a break in about a minute here, so I'm just going to take a moment to reintroduce my guests. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about racial disparities and ethnic disparities in traffic stops in Illinois. This has been something that's been collected for going on two decades now, and the big question is, what is the point of this data collection if nothing is being done to change it? We're speaking with Natalie Pierre, who's a reporter at the State Journal Register, who looked at these numbers in Illinois and Springfield, Rachel Murphy, staff attorney at the ACLU of Illinois, and Thomas Sines, president and general counsel at MALDEF. And if you want to join our conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 800-222-9455 is the number, especially if you've had an interaction with police in recent years. Do you think your race was a factor in that, in getting a ticket, not getting a ticket, however you think it might have benefited or hurt you, whatever your race might be? 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. We're going to continue after a short break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about racial disparities in traffic stops in Illinois. Police departments have to report their numbers to the state every year, and probably no surprise to anyone who's listened to this program, many of the conversations we've had in this last year, motorists who are Black, motorists who are Latino, are more likely than white motorists to be stopped by police. They're more likely to get traffic tickets, they're more likely to have to be asked to have their vehicles searched by police. We're talking about this with Thomas Sines, president of MALDEF, the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund, Natalie Pierre, who's a reporter at the State Journal Register in Springfield, who's been looking at these numbers, and Rachel Murphy, staff attorney with the ACLU of Illinois. I want to mention, and I should also invite listeners, if you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number to call. And I want to mention that we did invite a few representatives of law enforcement to join our conversation. The president of the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police had a conflict this morning, and another representative of that organization declined to participate. I did get to ask, however, a police official about this topic a few weeks ago. We had Brendan Kelly, director of the Illinois State Police, on the show, and I asked him why, after so many years of collecting this information, were there still disproportionate outcomes?
Well, fairness in policing and constitutional policing continues to be, it's an ongoing effort. It's an ongoing challenge. It's not something that you just pass a law and you write a report and suddenly we're better. Again, we have strong directives, but we also have ongoing developing training to reduce unconscious bias. That does occur. We know that it occurs. And it's one thing to just tell the men and women of law enforcement, hey, you know, don't be biased. Go be fair. Well, that's easier said than done. You have to equip people with the tools to do that. You have to properly train them. You have to give them the skills to be able to see how patterns might inadvertently develop, how patterns and practices could emerge, and making sure you're consciously aware of that and making sure that you have good policies and training and deliberate tools in place to prevent that. I think we welcome that transparency. We welcome having those facts and figures. I think that is a good thing. But the numbers there indicate that we're a little bit better than the state average. We have thousands and thousands of encounters with the public every day. And when there's issues with that, there's a disciplinary process, there's an accountability process. But I think you can see from the numbers, not just those particular traffic stops, but when it comes to use of force, our numbers are very low. When it comes to the number of complaints from citizens, as well as lawsuits, our numbers are very low compared to the thousands and thousands of interactions that the Illinois State Police has with the public every day. And I think in many ways, we're setting the standard, and in many ways, we're leading on that front.
Thomas Sines, can I ask you to respond to what you just heard from Director Kelly of the State Police there?
Well, I do agree that this is a long-term endeavor, but it takes much more than the steps that he described. Part of it is a matter of perspective. And while a lot of what he said is very positive, it comes from a perspective that this is an individual problem, that each law enforcement official has to be trained. And when they're trained, ultimately, this will stop. But the problem is broader than that. It's a problem of a culture in law enforcement that reinforces stereotypes, negative stereotypes about particular communities. And when you have a culture, then simply doing training as though you can fix each individual officer and collectively, that will solve the problem. Experience tells us it just doesn't work. That when you want to change a culture, it takes a deep commitment. It takes resources. It takes leadership articulation, continual articulation of the goal and the practice that you want to reinforce. And it takes resources that go well beyond training. In the end, it also has to involve, frankly, some accountability, where it's not just about training. It's about reinforcing the commitment from the top by taking steps to address those who are not adjusting their behavior to root out a culture that's inherited and then continually reinforced that includes these negative stereotypes of criminality with respect to particular communities.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the sort of idea of this, the frame of this being an individual problem. And Rachel, let me ask you, I would guess if you were doing a ride along with a police officer, many, if not most, traffic stops could be justified on something that, you know, that in the moment maybe seems not overtly to have to do with the race of the driver, right? Speeding, not using an indicator, broken taillight. How do you bridge what probably seem to the individual officers as justifiable individual decisions with an aggregate outcome that is disparate?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, what we see a lot of the times is that a lot of the stops are for, you know, minor offenses. And the issue with that is that whenever somebody is driving on the road, like most people, if not all people, will probably break some traffic law. You know, maybe you don't signal when you change lanes or when you turn or you drive, you know, over the speed limit. You know, I think everyone can relate that, you know, every time they've driven, they've probably broken at least one traffic law. So the fact that everybody is out there, you know, having these minor offenses, and yet we're still seeing such huge racial disparities, suggests that there is something else going on. And, you know, something that we've observed in the Chicago data is that over the past 5 years, traffic stops have increased exponentially. There were about 85,000 stops a year in 2015, and in 2019, there were almost 600,000. And when we look closer at the data, we then see that most of these stops resulted in only verbal warnings, not citations. And then that suggests that these were not for serious traffic safety violations. These were not somebody, you know, driving 20 miles over the speed limit where you would definitely receive a citation because of the dangerousness of that infraction. Instead, what it's suggesting is that police officers are pulling people over for minor offenses and using their discretion to not issue a citation and just leave with a verbal warning. But what that is really telling us is that the person wasn't committing something that was serious enough, and potentially these officers are using these really minor offenses as a means to conduct some further investigation. And what we're seeing also is that the people who were stopped in Chicago that accounted for these major increases in the total numbers of stops were predominantly Black drivers. And so you, what you have is Black drivers being stopped at much higher rates, like over and over and over, and being let go with just a verbal warning. And while that might seem like a positive thing, what it really is feels like harassment. It feels like racial profiling. They're not finding anything when they actually try and do a further investigation. So they're forced to let that person go. And that is just something that is really troubling, because traffic stops can be extremely frightening experiences for people, but especially, I think, people of color and Black drivers. And so we want to make sure that they aren't being subjected to these stops at such higher rates and without the same levels of justification that you would require of white drivers.
And we had an emailed question from Michael who asked, are you required to submit to a car search without a warrant? Natalie, you had, the answer I think to that is no. Legally, one of the lawyers on this panel can correct me if I'm wrong there, but Natalie, you spoke with an activist in Springfield who had a suggestion for the department about traffic stops and searches in particular. Can you talk about what that person was suggesting?
Yeah, so Ken Page, who leads the ACLU here in Springfield, said he, in a previous conversation with Springfield police and local law enforcement, had suggested that they do away with consent searches. Consent searches, as you stated, are voluntary. They don't have to be, there doesn't have to be reasonable doubt or any in terms of probable cause or anything like that. They ask the driver, can we search your vehicle? And, you know, one thing in speaking to local activists and people throughout the state that have looked at this data even closer have said that not only are Black drivers, you know, the data shows that Black drivers, for example, in Springfield, were asked to take part in consent searches at a higher rate than white drivers. Here it was 5.7% of the stops involving Black drivers led to consent searches in 2020, as opposed to 2.8% of stops involving white drivers. But at the same rate, essentially, contraband was found on both white and Black drivers. And so some of the things that, you know, you may say, well, Black drivers, you know, agreed to these searches, but when you also, you know, talk about things like the trauma and the fear or, you know, not feeling like you can say no to these searches, also led to them. So that was something that was of concern to many of the activists I spoke to, and part of the reason that they felt that some of these consent searches, especially when you talk about some of these minor infractions that are used to create additional police contacts, was kind of mentioned as something that would be helpful to do away with and kind of help do away with curbing this disparity.
Interesting. You mentioned I found the same thing when I was looking at state police numbers a few weeks ago, that Black drivers are much more likely to ask to have their vehicles searched, even though contraband is found at the same rate as white drivers. Thomas Sines, I wonder, what do you make of that gap when you hear that figure?
It's troubling. I think that any consent waiver of a right is troubling given the patterns that you see, whether that's a consensual search of a vehicle, a consent to waive Miranda rights. Any consent to waive a right is problematic when we have different experiences among communities and their interactions with law enforcement, so that consent is viewed as much more coerced on the natural for certain communities based on experience. When you have differences in awareness of folks' rights and ability to say no to police, and we know that those exist between communities, then consent-based waivers of rights are problematic. And the suggested reform of ending consent-based searches of vehicles is a strong one, but may well be warranted by the patterns, the disparate patterns that we see. And that's the kind of step to shake up law enforcement that is also a contributor to changing law enforcement culture. Again, in the end, this is a matter of law enforcement culture that needs to be rooted out and changed. And that takes real commitment, including occasionally taking steps that in essence shock the system, like ending any use of consensual waivers of the right to not have your car searched.
Rachel, can I ask you, here in Illinois, I mean, it took State Senator Obama 2 years just to negotiate a study of this sort of thing. What is feasible in terms of actually changing state and local police policy? And unfortunately, we only have about a minute left in our conversation. But what are the next steps you would like to see?
We would like to see local law enforcement agencies really commit to examining their data, identifying any problems, any racial disparities that it shows, and then working with their local communities on finding solutions that will work for them. We've seen some places do this, like Urbana, Springfield, as Natalie mentioned, had been in talks with the local law enforcement there too. It's a local problem that needs local solutions, and law enforcement agencies just really need to commit to using this really broad data that we have years of it now, and commit to doing something with it.
We will have to leave our conversation there. Thomas Sines with MALDEF, Rachel Murphy with the ACLU of Illinois, and Natalie Pierre of the State Journal Register. Thank you so much for being with us today to talk about this on the 21st. And that is it for our program today. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Erica Scalise is our engagement producer, and our interns are Owen Henderson, Zainab Qureshi, and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. If you have a moment, I want to urge you to go to our website, 21stshow.org. While you're there, you can sign up for our podcast. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and NPR One. While you're at our website, you can also let us know what you thought of our conversation today or any day. You can email us, leave us a voicemail anytime, day or night. Sometimes we use your comments on the program, and it certainly guides our coverage. We do look at all of them that come in. As I said, the 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening, and we will talk with you again tomorrow.